Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Demon Grudge by Stacy Brutker, narrated by Eva Wilhelm. Chapter 1. A gunshot blast shattered the silence of the night, reverberating like thunder as it echoed off the abandoned buildings around her. Octavia hesitated, debating the wisdom of investigating when a barrage of shots followed. Icy claws raked down her spine, the chill invading her soul at the all-too-familiar sound. Kronos. They'd found her. Their soldiers were nothing more than hired thugs, murderers pretending to be warriors for the good of humanity. Without a second's hesitation, she charged off into the darkness, following the screams of terror and the cries of the dead and dying. She'd been hiding out in the abandoned part of the city, four square blocks of derelict office buildings. Most of them were in some stage of collapse. Stolen and forgotten cars cluttered the road. Anything resembling streetlights were only a memory. Law enforcement condemned the inhabitants here a long time ago and left them to police themselves. Those who live in this section of the city were just shadows of people. The forgotten. The hopeless. The desperate. And her. The inhabitants mostly left her alone. They came to her when they had a problem with the outside world, when they needed a dispute settled or justice carried out. The people who lived here knew that real monsters existed in the world, that humans were no longer on the top of the food chain. And she was one of the monsters. Kinda. As she raced through the streets, she saw the inhabitants scurry away from the confrontation. A few would linger, scavenge among the dead, but only after the action was over. As she entered the small square located in Block 4, Octavia skidded to a stop, frozen as her past and present collided. The soldiers, once people she considered family, were shooting into a crowd of unarmed women and children. The only illumination was a wisp of moonlight, revealing crumbling buildings that resembled something out of a bombed-out horror movie, trashed and burned-out husks of cars cluttering the small square. Piles of rocks that someone long ago thought were decorative gave the people scant cover. The stink of blood and death saturated the air, invading her senses, and memories she'd shoved into the recesses of her mind rose like avenging demons. The soldiers were decked out in state-of-the-art combat gear, including full-body armor, helmets, and night-vision goggles. This attack wasn't an accident. They came prepared to kill everyone. Out of about 30 people, nearly half of them were already either dead or injured. Children scattered, their eyes wide with panic, only to be gunned down. Though a few brave souls tried to fight back with small blades, they were no match for the firepower and were quickly cut down, their dead bodies littering the ground. But not without taking a few of the soldiers down with them. One woman was a whirlwind of vengeance, her blades flashing in the moonlight. She ran and landed in a nest of soldiers, tearing into them. One of the men provided cover with a small set of throwing knives, his aim amazingly accurate as he embedded them in the throats of any who tried to get close to the knife-wielding woman. It didn't take long for a shot to catch him in the arm, then his leg, then side. As if sensing he was in trouble, the woman advanced on the shooter, only to fall prey to a hail of bullets. She staggered, struggling to lift her blades, when one of the soldiers walked up behind her and shot her point-blank in the back of her head. Octavia gazed at the fallen woman, watching as the light in her eyes flashed and dimmed. Octavia would almost swear she saw a slight, sparkling golden vapor seep out from between her lips and hover briefly over her body before departing. Without conscious thought, she grabbed her sidearm, took aim at the man who fired the fatal shot, and squeezed the trigger. The bullet plowed into a guy's helmet, dropping him on the spot. He'd probably live if he got help quickly, but not without a lifetime of pain. With a roar, the courageous man with the throwing knives dragged himself to his feet and threw his last blade. Her eyes honed in on the object, and she watched as it thudded into the nearest soldier's throat. A split second before he was eviscerated by a spray of shotgun blasts for his defiance. Octavia narrowed her eyes, her enhanced vision sharpening, and the shadows peeled back. The people being shot had a glow to them, indicating they weren't human. Demons. One woman held a longbow. As she pulled back the string, a glow spread down the nocked arrow, one Octavia could have sworn hadn't been there a second ago. The arrow flew true, piercing a soldier through the heart. In the space of 5 seconds, 3 more arrows found their marks. It didn't take long before the soldiers ruthlessly targeted her next. Then she was gone. As her life blinked out of existence, the glow surrounding her faded until the world turned flat and ugly once more. Rage burned in Octavia's veins at the senseless loss. Without a hint of remorse, she turned her weapon on the soldiers, noticing that shadows clung to half of them like living beasts. They gave those soldiers an edge, made them more than human, but there was a creepy, unnatural taint to the way the shadows licked at their skin. Without hesitation, she fired, taking out the soldier who aimed at a child, frozen in terror in the middle of the square. Shame she was too far away to kill the bastard, but her bullet had the desired effect, dropping him to the ground and putting him out of commission. She relentlessly targeted the other soldiers, pleased when a few of the kids on the ground took advantage of the distraction and ran. Most of the kids had a blue glow surrounding them like a shield, protecting them from any stray bullets. Unfortunately, a direct hit at close range would still kill them. Half of the 20 soldiers in the unit turned their focus on her. As she returned fire, an older man charged into the clearing, shooting the soldiers with surprising accuracy. The same blue glow surrounded him, deflecting the bullets targeting him. He must be shielding the kids in some way. He scooped up the lone child remaining in the square, turning his body to protect the boy. The glow thinned as it stretched to wrap around the child, leaving the older man covered by nothing but a fractured shell. Octavia cleared out her clip to give him cover, her aim true, taking out at least 5 of the soldiers and wounding 3 more. Just as the old man reached the shelter of the building, a spray of bullets struck him in the back. The first couple of shots were blocked and clattered harmlessly to the ground. Then the shield shattered like breaking glass and the rest of the bullets slammed into flesh. Octavia leapt to her feet, emptying her clip into the shooter, savagely pleased when a spray of blood erupted from his mangled throat. A bullet creased her arm, the burn searing into her flesh, and she flung herself sideways. Peering under the car she was hiding behind, Octavia ignored the thump of bullets as they tore through the rusted metal shielding her, and watched the man and child with her heart in her throat. Instead of going down, the old man tightened his hold on the child and staggered into a grungy alley. She bit back a cheer just when a volley of bullets landed a little too close for comfort and sent a shower of rust peppering down on her. As a group of soldiers began to converge on her location, she checked how many bullets she had left. Not nearly enough. She dragged herself up into a crouch, ready to make her own break for it, when she saw another set of soldiers heading toward the place where the old man had disappeared. She quickly changed out her clip and ran after them, urgency pounding through her. She took a couple of shots at the soldiers, pleased when they retreated and dove for cover instead of going after the wounded man. As she slipped into the shadows, she saw the clearing was empty except for the dead and the soldiers picking over them like vultures. They moved like a unit, quick and efficient, shooting the few remaining people who tried to run. She tightened her grip on the gun, struggling against the savage urge to charge to the rescue, knowing it would be futile. She knew her skill level. There were just too many of them for her to defeat with only 5 bullets left in her clip. As she watched, she noticed a pattern to their madness. Those with the biggest glow, the soldiers knocked out with a rifle butt to the face, then gagged and zip-tied them. The rest died in terror. Bile rose in the back of her throat at the familiar scene. She skidded to a stop near the opening of the alley, the metallic smell of blood and dirt saturating the tight space. Despite the odds, she debated the wisdom of giving in to the temptation to shoot every last one of the fuckers dead. She took a step out of the shadows to do just that when she heard a hiccuping sob. The boy. Alive. And he would stay that way if she had a say in it. Tearing her eyes away from the horror, she charged into the alley, hating herself for leaving the others behind, even knowing she couldn't do anything without getting herself killed in the process. Or worse, captured. The old man and child didn't get far, only a few yards into the alley. A black smear stained the cracked cement, the trail leading to a rusty dumpster. As she turned the corner, the old man lifted his gun, the barrel aimed directly at her heart, and she quickly held up her hands. Then it felt like someone reached into her chest and scrambled her insides with a rusty fork. Eldon? She dropped to her knees at his side, his blood quickly soaking into her pants. She shoved her gun into the back of her waistband, then reached toward the old man to put pressure on his wounds, but there were just too many. Sorrow invaded her chest with crushing force, and she met his eyes. You stupid fool. What did you do?
Get the kid to safety.
His voice was a bubbly rasp, every breath a struggle. Everything inside her rebelled against leaving him, until she peered into the frightened eyes of a kid who couldn't be more than 7. He was young, his face pale, his eyes wide. But when he saw her looking, his chin went up, and her heart broke when his mouth wobbled. Come. She stood and held out her hand for him. He looked at her, then back toward Eldon, clearly torn.
She's the Valkyrie, kid.
The old man spoke barely above a whisper.
She'll keep you safe.
He pushed the boy gently toward her, but at the mention of her name, the kid's eyes got as big as saucers.
Really?
Then his nose scrunched up.
You don't look like the savior.
Octavia snorted, resisting the urge to sigh at the name they picked out for her. The best ones never do, kid. He placed his hand trustingly in hers. She glanced at the alley, but quickly dismissed it as a means of escape. The soldiers would be waiting for them. The chirp of a bird caught her attention, and she tipped her head back to see Nettie peering at her from a window above them. The girl was no more than 16 and looked even younger. Her blonde hair was cut in a pixie style that made her eyes appear big and innocent. Nothing could be further from the truth. Her delicate features hid a ruthless mind, and she had no remorse about using it against those who were stupid enough to fall for it. The kid had followed her around doggedly until Octavia caved and allowed her to do odd jobs in return for teaching her to survive. What the hell are you doing here? Nettie scowled down at her.
Give me the kid. I can get him out through the maze.
The maze was what the kids called the sewer tunnels under the city. Octavia hesitated for a heartbeat, then nodded. She peered down at the kid, patting his hand.
I'm going to toss you up to Nettie, and she's going to take you someplace safe.
He tightened his hand on hers, crowding closer, and she ran her hand along the top of his head.
It will be okay. Promise.
The kid eyed the distance between the ground and the second-floor window, then gave her a skeptical look.
There ain't no way you're going to make that.
Octavia gave him a wink.
Don't you know Valkyries can fly?
She scooped him up under his arms and bent her legs. When we reach the window, all you have to do is grab for Nettie. Ready? His heart hammered like hummingbird wings, but he nodded.
Good boy. Here we go.
Without giving him a chance to panic, she jumped and launched them both through the air toward the window. She caught the ledge with one hand, and the kid latched on to Nettie like a leech a half a second later. Nettie seized the back of the kid's pants and pulled him through the window. A heavy thump against the floor had her shoulders relaxing.
He was safe.
Nettie gave her a cocky salute, cap pulled low over her dirty face. Though she was dressed as a ragamuffin, her smile and delicate features gave her away every time.
I got him, Valkyrie. Go. Save Eldon.
With a nod, Octavia released the ledge and dropped silently to the ground, crouching to ease the brunt of the impact. Eldon gave a watery chuckle, pushing himself upright.
The name suits you.
Octavia rolled her eyes, shooting to her feet and hurrying to his side as bright red blood continued to soak into his shirt in an ever-widening circle. You're the one who gave me that ridiculous nickname. Just as she reached for him, a slight scuffle of feet had her whirling. She had her gun in her hand before she was aware of even moving. And she stared into the barrel of a rifle just a foot from her face. Chapter 2 Octavia's finger hovered over the trigger when she recognized the soldier. Thomas.
Tavia.
He reached up and ripped off the mask covering the lower part of his face, her name a low growl.
That sound used to make her sigh with longing. Now it sent a shiver of dread down her spine. He didn't seem happy to see her, and her heart squeezed painfully to be face to face with him once again. He had been her only family as a child. They'd grown up in the foster care system together, each protecting the other, before they were conscripted into the Kronos program as cadets. It showed how much things had changed when he refused to lower his weapon. His eyes flickered to the man she was shielding with her body, and she tensed.
"Don't even think about it. You and I both know you won't be fast enough to get off a shot."
His scowl deepened, his look of disgust shriveling her heart.
"Just go, before I change my mind. If you're caught, don't expect me to rescue you."
He lowered his gun and turned away. She tightened her lips, but she couldn't hold back the spew of bitterness that erupted.
"Don't worry, I haven't forgotten. I learned that lesson the hard way."
He tensed, his strides slowing. Then he turned to glare at her over his shoulder.
"You're the one who betrayed everything we were trained to believe when you left."
Octavia struggled to swallow the lump in her throat. "And yet you're the one who betrayed me when I told you the truth about what was happening, what they were doing to us. You didn't believe me. You still don't." Instead of ducking his head, he lifted his chin, his stubbled jaw like granite.
"And if you had bothered to wait for an explanation, you would have learned that we're trying to protect the human race from these monsters you so love."
"You mean monsters like me?" Octavia spread her arms, her chin high.
"Don't you ever wonder what happened to the other soldiers who were in training with us? Do you honestly believe they were just reassigned or released? Did you even bother to dig deeper into their medical records? Not one of them made it out alive."
"Lies." Thomas gave her a pitying look, his brown eyes harsh and jaded. It broke her heart to know the boy she once knew was gone forever.
"They gave you a gift, gave you the ability to protect humans from people who would slaughter them, and you ran away from the responsibility they entrusted to us."
Octavia raised her eyebrows, then jerked her chin toward the square that was now teeming with soldiers.
"Oh, you mean by opening fire on a group of innocent women and children?" "They're not human!"
He took a threatening step toward her, but she held her ground.
"That you can say that without flinching, that you honestly believe it, means neither are you."
He flinched as if she'd struck him, but she refused to feel remorse.
"Soldiers don't get the luxury of emotions. We follow orders."
Without another word, he turned on his heel and strode away. And she let him. Whatever had been between them died the night she discovered the military was experimenting on them, on her, and killing innocent people to produce a serum that gave soldiers superhuman powers. She freed as many test subjects as she could from the military research facility before she was discovered, before Thomas caught her. Instead of listening to her pleas, he set off the alarm. She should consider herself lucky he'd allowed her to escape, but the part of her heart that broke that night had never mended. Kronos soldiers had been hunting her ever since. She was one of the few soldiers who managed to bond with their poisonous cocktail without any of the pesky side effects like dying. Turning away from Thomas, knowing she had only a few minutes, she reached down for Eldon and pulled him upright. He let out a tortured groan when she hauled his arm over her shoulder.
"Leave me,"
Eldon wheezed under his breath.
"You and I both know that I won't survive. No need for both of us to die."
Octavia tightened her hold on his waist, taking most of his weight, feeling her muscles burn as her abilities kicked into high gear. "Not happening, old man." He didn't know what they would do to him. If he was caught alive, draining his body of blood would be the least of his worries. Even in death, he wouldn't escape the horrors of their medical testing. Rage lashed through her, and it was all she could do not to go back and destroy them. She knew giving in to the desire wouldn't stop the war. More soldiers would be dosed, their physiology altered, created to take the places of their fallen comrades. Octavia reached the far end of the alley. A rusted gate was torn off its hinges, the sharp metal canting dangerously. As she pulled him through the small gap in the gate, she did her best to shield him, the torn edges of metal gouging into her back and thigh. The old man stifled his groan as she dragged them free. She practically carried him the next block and a half, breathing a sigh of relief when she came upon her beaten-up truck. She propped Eldon against the dented box and groped for the handle. She wrenched it open, the door screeching in protest like a prehistoric pterodactyl. Eldon slumped forward, his ragged breathing letting her know he was still alive. She scooted him over, leaving him leaning weakly against the seat. Then she wiggled around him, climbed into the truck, and carefully gripped him under the arms and dragged him inside the cab, wincing when he let out another tortured groan. "Almost there, old man." She leaned over him and yanked the door shut, the metal letting out its own tortured screech. Despite the distance between them and the fight, she knew they weren't safe. They would never be safe. She twisted the key and the engine turned over with a purr. While the truck didn't look like much, she made sure it ran like new. The people on the streets knew it was hers and left it in peace. They'd stolen it only once before they learned not to touch anything that belonged to her. While she hated not being completely human any longer, it guaranteed no one would mess with her either. She tore out of the abandoned neighborhood with a chirp of tires and the engine roaring. Reaching behind the bench seat, she pulled out the few medical supplies she stashed there. Flipping open the flimsy plastic container, she grabbed one of the big packets resting on top, tearing open the pressure packages with her teeth. "Here." She handed them over, wincing to see them already stained with blood that coated her hands. His blood. The old man knew better than to argue and haphazardly slapped the gauze over his injuries. They were soaked instantly. Even without her enhanced sight, she could see the spark that normally surrounded him was fading, the slight glow to his eyes already dimming. The old bastard was drifting away from her, and there wasn't a damn thing she could do. "What the hell were you doing out there?" She was so furious, the magic inside her began to churn in agitation. Tiny sparks snapped inside the cab before she could force the volatile emotions down. If she lost her shit, there was a very good chance she'd blow up the truck, with them in it.
"Some of the kids were being tracked. We were smuggling them out of the city, away from your Kronos team, when we were attacked."
She flinched when he called them her team, but she swallowed down her protest. Because he was right. If she had been stronger or faster, she would have taken them out when she had the chance instead of running and hiding. It didn't matter that she was barely 16 at the time and afraid for her life. The captured kids were younger and would suffer much worse tortures because of her cowardice. She glanced at Eldon, saw the sweat beading on his brow, his pale face clammy. Every word he spoke was a struggle.
"They must have known we were moving the kids tonight. Someone must have tipped them off."
"I know where the soldiers will take them." Her resolve firmed. If she couldn't rescue the kids, she could at least grant them a clean death. "I can get into the compound, let myself be captured, and—"
"No!"
His protest ended when a violent cough racked his body, leaving his hand even bloodier.
"You'd be playing right into their hands. The adults knew the risk and signed up for the mission anyway. The kids will be fine until they reach the age of maturity and gain their demon powers."
She'd told Eldon the truth about what they were doing to the demons they captured, draining them of their essence to create a serum that could make humans stronger and faster. Creating their own army of soldiers to combat the growing threat of demons. "Why the hell didn't you call me? I could have gotten them out of the city." But she already knew the answer. He'd been trying to protect her. Long ago, Eldon made her promise to keep her true identity secret. He called her Valkyrie and gave her small missions to help his cause, but nothing that would draw the attention of Kronos or the demons. The few demons she met in passing thought she was one of them. If they knew the truth, that she wasn't created by the gods, but by humans, she would find herself targeted by both sides. She was an abomination.
"They're going to come for you now."
He sighed, the conversation seeming to exhaust him. Octavia flashed him a confident smile, but her insides trembled at the sight of his pale face. She slammed her foot on the gas pedal until it was flat on the floor. Thankfully, the streets remained mostly empty. "They were always coming for me, old man." He gave a tired shake of his head.
"You've come to our rescue one too many times. You've become a nuisance. You're vulnerable out here alone."
She lifted a brow at him. "I hate to be the one to tell you, but nowhere is safe for me. Never has been. Whether in a group or on my own, the soldiers are getting increasingly bolder." She peered over at Eldon. They'd met almost 5 years ago, when she was running scared on the streets, hunted by those she'd considered family. He'd taught her how to escape detection and hide from people who were more than human. That's when she learned the truth about demons. People like Eldon. They were creatures created by the ancient gods to protect humans. When the gods of old were destroyed, their magic gave the demons human form. As demons matured into adulthood, their powers would awaken, and they would be trained in the old ways. Only the old ways were changing. Some demons no longer felt the need to guard humans. They wanted what the humans took for granted. They wanted freedom and would do or sacrifice anything to get it. Thomas's opinion of demons wasn't far off. Thankfully, while some were pure monsters without a drop of humanity, they were a small fraction. Not sure she trusted the demons any more than Kronos. She kept mostly to herself. She couldn't risk demons finding out the truth and killing her. Not until she figured out a way to stop Kronos once and for all.
"Here."
Eldon held out a blood-red card. She wasn't sure if it was colored that way or if his blood had soaked into the linen fibers and stained it. One prominent word was imprinted on the front in silver lettering. War. Not ominous. Not ominous at all. Ignoring the tremor in his hand, she took it and quickly scanned the address. Anxiety clawed at her insides. The location was on the other side of the fucking town.
"They can help us, if anyone can."
The raspy word ended up in a ragged cough. At the thought of losing Eldon, the crushing pressure on her chest made breathing difficult. He was her only true friend since her life went to hell. The only one who didn't think her a monster, even when she thought of herself that way. She couldn't lose him. Chapter 3. It was an hour later when she pulled up to a mansion nestled in the middle of nowhere, the forest concealing it from the road. The building was a bit of a fixer-upper, the paint chipped and peeling in places, the windows filthy, the shingles curling up around the edges. Despite it being after midnight, the downstairs was still lit up. She glanced over to see Eldon was slumped against the door. He'd fallen unconscious 20 minutes ago, his breathing growing more ragged every second. She was afraid to touch him in case he didn't wake. Turning off the engine, she checked the red and silver card one more time in the dim light, then slid out of the truck. Though the old man said these people could help them, she approached the front door cautiously, uncertain what to expect. She checked the card again. Warwick, not War as she first thought. Neither name sounded very promising. She climbed the stairs carefully, keeping her steps light when the wood groaned in protest. She peered cautiously through the windows but couldn't see any movement. Knowing she didn't have time to waste, she wiped her blood-stained hands on her pants and knocked on the door. A thunder of footsteps followed and she cautiously backed away, clinging to the shadows. The door was thrown wide to reveal a guy about her age. He had longish black hair, like he'd forgotten to get it cut. Though the back and sides were trimmed, the rest of the strands were tangled in a wavy mess, as if she'd just woke him up from a nap. Dark stubble shadowed his jaw. But his eyes were what arrested her. They were so brown they appeared almost black. They glowed. Black eyes shouldn't be able to glow. When she looked closer, there was a tiny ring of amber around them that explained the oddness. It also marked him as demon. She wasn't sure why the color changed from demon to demon or why humans didn't see it and she could. A cocky grin hovered around his mouth, mirth dancing in his eyes as he caught sight of her. He scanned her from head to toe, his scrutiny so penetrating she tugged the edges of her jacket together.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?